As you're very much aware, as I mentioned at the beginning, and the whole reason that you're up here, is that today we celebrate that feast known as Corpus Christi, Body of Christ, or more precisely, the Body and Blood of Christ. It used to be two separate feasts, the Feast of the Blood of Christ and the Feast of the Body of Christ, but the Church has brought them together so that we might understand fully what it is we're talking about here. Why do we make such a big deal about this? About this aspect of our faith, which seems just like a little white disc to so many. Somebody who, in complete ignorance, just in the sense of being uninformed about the faith, was making a joke the other day, saying, I was telling this person about what was going on, explaining to them the feast. And they said, well, make sure you don't overcook the bread. But they just don't know. But do we know why we are here, apart from the fact that it's a really nice day and it's a free cup of tea and we get some exercise? The Eucharist is, as the Church tells us again and again and again, the source and the summit of everything that we believe, of everything even that is. It is the Alpha and the Omega. And that is because it is, in fact, God. The Eucharist, the Blessed Sacrament, is God. I think maybe we as a people of God need to really contemplate that more. Yes, we go to adoration, absolutely, we talk to Christ. But to remember who this Christ is that we are talking to. We start from the very beginning, even before history, that is, before time began. The God who is and who has always been, all-powerful, completely content with his own company, loving himself perfectly because he's perfectly lovable, knowing himself perfectly, the three in one, existing before time existed. That God is here with us today in the tabernacle in the Blessed Sacrament. It's the same God. That God who then created time, created all that is, everything that you can think of, everything that you can't think of, everything he created. That all-powerful creator is now within our tabernacles. That all-powerful creator has now allowed, has taken on a created nature. That God who created us, who created Adam and Eve, who walked in the garden with Adam and Eve, who saw Adam and Eve fall, who saw them fail, who loved them anyway, and promised that he would be with them himself, and come to redeem them, and more than just redeem them, to elevate their natures to a quasi, an almost divine nature, to allow them to share in the divinity of himself. That same loving, forgiving, understanding, and extremely patient God is there in the tabernacle with us today. That same God who was with mankind for all those thousands of years, especially with the people of God, Israel. With Adam, as I mentioned, with Noah, with Abraham, with Moses, and with all those. He was there, and they spoke to him, and they knew him, and he is still here, waiting for us to speak to him and to know him. He is here in the Blessed Sacrament. When the right time came, when time was fulfilled, he took on our nature. He took on the nature of mankind. He took on a human nature to be with us. God, who had everything, who needed nothing, who has everything, who needs nothing, who's completely content with his own self, completely content with his own company. Now, how many of us can say that? But he's completely content because his own company is perfect. And yet, he came to be with us. That same Christ who has walked this earth is now in the tabernacle. But Christ, who grew, who learned experientially things, who became a carpenter, who taught, who had mercy, who healed, who drove out demons, who rose people from the dead, who wept, who had compassion, who corrected. That same Christ, the same man with all those qualities and all those abilities and all those desires, he is still here and walks among us in the Blessed Sacrament. He who then was mocked, scourged until blood, crowned with thorns, doubted, refuted, but never successfully. He who was rejected by those very ones whom he loved above all. He is here. And unfortunately, many still do the same thing. He who took up the cross, who took up the burden which was our burden, who had nails driven through his hands and his feet, who spoke 7 times upon the cross, who gave his mother to us, and who died, he is still with us. And he would still bear our burdens, and still does, in a special way, in the Eucharist. Finally, not exactly finally, but certainly in this earthly sojourn, he who died, whose soul was separated from his body, and then rose again when his soul was joined back to his body. He is here. The risen Christ is present in the Eucharist. When he came back, he taught the apostles and Our Lady even more. She assisted in that teaching. He filled them with courage and with strength. He encouraged them to go forth and preach the truth fearlessly. He is the God who is here with us, still doing that, encouraging us when we are feeling weak, when we are tempted to doubt, pushing us forward, reminding us that he is actually here with us, not in some vague way, like, yeah, God's here. He is. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. But he is also in a very special way here present. The God who ascended into heaven and is now, as we all know, as we say in the Creed, seated at the right hand of the Father. He is there, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Christ is in heaven. And at the same time, he is here on earth. Because while Christ cannot be separated from God the Father and the Holy Spirit, he does not want to be separated from us who are not God the Father or the Holy Spirit. And so he stays with us. As he promised, I will be with you until the end of time. And here he is. He will be with us. Out of all the things and persons in our life that may abandon us, may turn our backs on us, may disappoint us, he is the only one who will never, ever turn his back on us. He will never disappoint us. He might not want the same thing for us that we want for him, that he wants for us, but it gets confusing, you know what I mean. But that's because he's a good parent and we're often not very good children. We want those things that aren't great for us. But he wants to be with us, and as a sign for that, as a real concrete sign of his love, here he is, always with us. And here he remains, no matter what. For better or for worse. I was at a wedding yesterday. They said these vows, for better or for worse. And, you know, I haven't been a priest for many, many years, but it doesn't take long until you start to hear a lot of stories about what that worse is. So please pray for this couple. They're a very good couple. Christ stays here, for better or for worse. And you just need to read some history books to see there has been much worse for Christ. Trampled underfoot. Thrown into fire, thrown into water. Used in black rituals. Fed to animals. All these stories. Disgraced, degraded. All these sacrilegious. And yet he will not leave us. He will not go, because his love for each one of you is much more than any hate that man may have for him. He will not abandon us. And so in our Christian life, we need to ask ourselves often, every day, who is this in front of me in the Eucharist? And then reflect through all of history, and even before history, it is that God who is here. It is he who walked the earth and suffered all those things. It is he who is here. And then we have to ask ourselves, who am I to him? What is my attitude towards him? If this is truly God, the most perfect God, the most loving Father, who wants nothing but our good, he's not here for his own good. It's not like God had nothing better to do. Yeah, I think I might make some people and then become one of them. I think I might just take on the form of bread and hang around in a tabernacle to be ignored for thousands of years. That's not why he did it. He did it so that you and I might actually take the time to come to know him. We can't come to know him unless we spend time with him. Unless we speak with him. Can you imagine? I don't know, in some cultures, you might not meet your bride until the day, or your groom, your husband, until the day of your wedding. But can you imagine for the rest of your life if you never spoke or saw each other? No funny comments, please, with that. But you'd never get to know each other. How could you possibly love one another? It's the same with God. He knows us intimately already. He loves us. But we need to come to know him. And so why don't we? Sunday Mass, please. God, that you come to Sunday Mass. What about the rest of the week? With all the time that we may have. With all the Masses, especially in the metro area. All the Masses everywhere that you can go to. Adoration, or just popping in to see Jesus. It's God who wants to give us everything, but we don't want to give him anything. Not a few minutes of our time, not an hour a week. And worse than that, we come to him in communion, not examining our souls. Not taking the time, even though we know there are things that we've done and that we shouldn't have. Knowing that God is ready to forgive us in an instant, in the sacrament of reconciliation, sacrament of confession, and yet we still come to communion with these things on our souls. Going out of the church with more sins than when we came in. God wants us here. He wants us here more than anything. But he wants us also here to be cleansed, to be pure, as he is. He says, be holy as I am holy. That's a big ask. But it's possible when we let him do the majority of the work. He has truly given us everything. No one can forgive us as Christ has and as God can. There may be people and things in our lives that we say that I just find it very hard to forgive. We pray to God that we can forgive eventually these things. But there is nothing that he can't forgive. There is nothing that holds us back from going to God with a pure soul, and as pure as it can be, this side of heaven. These considerations, therefore, we take into this feast day today. This is why we are about to go and follow Christ through the streets. It can be embarrassing, humiliating sometimes, especially in a town like Tujay, where today is a big tourist day. There'll be people walking us, looking at us, staring at us, taking photos of us, thinking, oh, there's those crazy Catholics and those bald guys in the dresses again. But we do it because we're following him who gave us everything. The following that we do now, for this hour and a half that we're about to go through the streets of Tujay, is symbolic of how we are supposed to follow him every moment of our life. Let us make a resolution then. Let us not walk away from this, this feast without some kind of change in our life. Christ is the source and summit of all things, and in the Eucharist, he's the source and summit of our Christian life. Let's make sure that he is actually the source and summit, the center of our life. For those who've gone to the Day with Mary long enough, have heard most of my Eucharistic stories. But the great saints, they split their days into two. St. Maximilian did the same. Half the day in preparation for the Eucharist, half the day in thanksgiving. But it was all about the Eucharist. Making spiritual communions as often as we can. He made one every 15 minutes. I suspect to the chime of the clock. As often as we can, to say, Jesus, come into my heart spiritually. All these things help us to prepare to receive him, help us to come to know him. If we're not going to come to know him, there's no, and we wonder, why do I have no devotion? Why do I feel nothing in church? Why do I feel nothing towards the Eucharist? Are you even trying to speak to him? We're supposed to be in communion with him, and yet the only communion we have is that physical communion with the Eucharist, and that never works if it's just physical and not spiritual, emotional, from the heart, intellectual. It's never going to be a good thing. Of course, the one who knows Christ the best is the Blessed Virgin Mary. Are you afraid to go to him? Are you afraid that you don't understand him enough? Do you not understand what it is even that you're supposed to understand? Go to her. And like a good mother, she will explain things to your heart that you will never be able to understand, that none of us will be able to understand by ourselves. She is, of course, the mother of the Eucharist, the one who gave Christ his flesh that is now present in the Blessed Sacrament. Let us pray to her and to all those who have gone before us, who have, even those martyrs, those who have given up their life for the truth of the Eucharist. Let us follow them as we follow Christ, so that we may become true apostles, true adorers, true lovers of God in this most precious body and blood of Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.